الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن. إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, in the past few days, past few weeks and few months, we have noticed throughout the world a great number of natural disasters, tragedies, calamities afflicting the Muslims, afflicting mankind at large. Recently, the earthquake in Jakarta, then before that the tsunami, and various tragedies throughout the world. But for a mu'min, everything that happens around him, everything that happens in his surroundings, is something and an opportunity for him to derive a lesson, to take a lesson from everything that happens around him. And in the earthquake, and in the various tragedies, something that becomes very evident and apparent is the great power, the might, and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability, has the capability of destroying in a few seconds. In 1999, earthquake which struck Turkey, an entire city was demolished in a matter of a few seconds. And an entire country was brought into total havoc in a few seconds. This is the power, the might, and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given man the ability of gaining a certain amount of control over the various natural resources. For example, the great dams. Man has the ability of containing tons and tons and liters of water in dams. Then man has gained the capability, given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of digging tunnels through large, large mountains. Then man has the ability of harnessing great electrical energy. Then the great technological and electronic advances. So then man becomes illuded and deceived. And he then reaches the conclusion that he is the master of the universe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then shows man that you are not the master of the universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of these natural disasters, but becomes very evident and clear, is how fragile man really is, how helpless man really is. One earthquake and an entire nation is brought to a standstill. The greatest president, kings, rulers, but they can do nothing when this earthquake strikes. Even if they can predict a natural disaster, for example the hurricanes or the floods, even if they can predict it, but they cannot prevent it, nor can they do anything against it. This is the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot fathom and understand the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ, that no one can comprehend the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy in various ways. And we see in history how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the various nations. The people of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them by the flood waters. Waters coming out, gushing out from beneath them, from the sides, from above them, raining. And within a short span of time, an entire nation was drowned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Ad, who had gained great strength, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them a great amount of power, physical power, until they said, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa," that who is stronger than us? Who is more mightier than us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "Awalam yaraw anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa." Do they not know that being who had created them, he is more powerful than them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind and destroyed the people of Ad. Abraha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them by mere pebbles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy in various ways the oceans of the water, or the waters of the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause the earth beneath our feet to shake. An entire nation can be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send one lightning bolt from the sky and an entire a person can be destroyed. So the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our comprehension. But when these disasters or tragedies strike, then unfortunately we find that the kuffar and the mushrikeen and non-believers, they regard them as mere natural disasters, random events which occur. And when it is said to them that this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they begin to rationalize. And they say that cannot be the punishment of Allah, because there is no distinction. If it was the punishment, then it would not hit the saints and the pious ones. But we find when a natural disaster, this is what they say, when a natural disaster strikes, then whether a person is a pious person, is devout, is saintly, or whether he is a sinner, all of them are destroyed in them. But if we analyze this deduction of theirs, then we will see how hollow and imperfect it is. Because a mu'min and a believer, he looks at things completely different from the kuffar. Remember, our way of thinking is not like that of the kuffar. Our manners are not like that of the kuffar. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ. Do not even incline towards the kuffar, because then the fire of Jahannam will touch you just as it will afflict them. So even our ways of thinking must not be like them. A mu'min looks at things differently. Everything that happens in the entire universe is only and only with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing happens in the world except with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even a leaf can fall from the tree except with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِن وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf falls from a tree except with the command, with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything that happens in the universe and in the earth is with the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not just mere natural events or random events which occur. And it is also our iman and our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise. Therefore, every single thing which happens in the earth with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never ever be devoid of wisdom. There has to be some underlying wisdom behind everything which occurs in the world. And if we understand the wisdom behind the various things which occur in the earth, then it will become much, much more easier for us to cope with the various tragedies and disasters which occur. If we look at a disaster or a calamity or a tragedy, misfortune, trial or tribulation, when it afflicts a person, then there are two reasons for this. We find that if a disaster or tragedy afflicts a believer, then it is a test for him. It is an opportunity for him to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an opportunity for him to gain great thawab and reward, provided he exercises patience. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That indeed, most definitely, we will test you. We will test you with a little bit of fear, of poverty, shortage of wealth, difficulty, shortage of wealth, and loss of life, loss of property. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glad tidings for those who exercise patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely test us in this world. For a believer, tests and trials must come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ مَنْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ. Do you think you will enter Jannah without being tested, without going through difficulty and trials? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. The gist of the ayat is that the example of those before you was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted them with difficulties, with trials, until the earth was shaken beneath them. And then the Rasul and those amongst them, with the Rasul who had brought Iman, they said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then answered them and said, Allah, إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. That listen, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very near. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the people of before and will continue to test the mu'mineen. But a believer has to exercise patience when these tests and trials come. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, glad tidings for those who exercise patience. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, that when any calamity affects them, to such an extent that it comes in the riwayat and the narrations, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the light would be extinguished, then at that time he would say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That even when that small little difficulty came upon him, then too he would say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They would say that everything belongs to Allah. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will we return to. So everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this world is temporary. We have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that for a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tests him with different trials and tribulations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an opportunity for him to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whenever any natural disaster strikes, we should not jump to any conclusion that it is an azab for those people. In fact, that could be a blessing for those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate their status and bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that what we have to do is to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every condition, that is what Islam means, submitting to the command and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when a natural disaster, a trial, a tribulation afflicts a person, misfortune, theft, burglaries, death in the family, then at that time he has to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that death had to happen. So in Islam we have to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is in areas within our control or areas beyond our control. For example, areas within our control, it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we are going in the market or bazaars or marketplaces. Then at that time it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lower our gazes, not to cast lustful glances. So then it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to submit, and it is within our control. Some people say, Mawlana, I just can't lower my gaze when I'm in the bazaars and marketplaces. So the answer that the ulama ikram mentioned and they give to that person, that if that girl's father has to come, and mashallah, he's a nice bodybuilder, and he comes, and he takes out his gun and puts it to your head, and he says, now look at my daughter in front of me and see what I do to you. Then what happens to that? I can't look. I can't control myself. So it is within our control to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, keeping a shari'i beard, for example, this is within our control. Some people say, but Mawlana, it doesn't look nice on my face. Na'uzu billah. If the beard was something which tarnished the appearance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never have allowed it to be on the handsome and beautiful face of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she says that those women who had seen Yusuf alayhi salam, then because of his handsomeness and beauty, they were so overwhelmed that they cut their fingers when they saw the handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salam. She says, had those women seen my Aisha, then let alone their fingers, they would have cut their hearts out of his beauty. Hazrat Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu beautifully describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي, more perfect than you, my eye has never seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ, more beautiful than you, no woman has given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, you have been created free from any blemishes, free from any defect. As we say, zero defect. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ, it is as if you were created the way you want to do. That you, as if you told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, create me in this manner and this manner. This is how perfect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the beard was something which tarnished the appearance, then would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have allowed it to be on the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So in the same way, if we look at it, interest dealings or haram financial transactions, it is within our control to restrain ourselves. So therefore we have to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is in areas within our control or areas beyond our control. Beyond our control, the example of this would be loss of family, loss of life. If a person loses a loved one, then at that time he has to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If then he utters any such statement, for example, why did this happen to me? Then he is not submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we find that a natural disaster for the sinners will not be then a blessing. In fact, for the sinners, a natural disaster will be a punishment and adab. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُم مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that we indeed, we will let them taste the lighter chastisement, the lighter punishment before the greater punishment. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a lighter punishment in this world before the great punishment in the akhirah. Can we understand the punishment in the Akhirah? So the punishment in this world is nothing compared to the punishment of the Akhirah. The earthquakes of this world are nothing compared to the earthquakes of the Akhirah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts mankind and says, O mankind, fear your Rabb, fear your sustainer, your nourisher. Indeed, the earthquake or the shaking on the day of Qiyamah is something which is very severe, very great. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. On that day when you will see, every woman who is suckling her child, she will leave her child one side. Those women who are pregnant and expecting, they will abort their fetuses. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. You will see people intoxicated. They will seem drunk. But in fact, وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. They are not intoxicated. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so severe that they seem intoxicated. So what is the earthquakes and the disasters of this world? It is nothing compared to the disasters of the Akhirah. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. But why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send this light punishment in this world, or disaster in this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they may return and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in fact, even these disasters for the sinners is a blessing in disguise for those who heed the wake-up call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them a wake-up call that return before it is too late. For example, a small little child in the house, the iron is on, it's hot. The child wants to touch the iron. The parent says no. The child still does not listen. Then the parent rebukes, scolds the child. And if the child still does not listen, the parent will give the child a light slap. But does it mean that the parents hate the child? Or that, na'udhu billah, the parents are cruel? So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He wants His servants to return to Him. Then, oh my servants, you have gone far, return to me, repent, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this adab and these disasters, so that the servants can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we should not jump to any conclusion. A natural disaster could be a blessing for some, and it could be an adab for others. Now how do we know the difference? Because if we look at history, we find, for example, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, a plague had killed thousands of Sahaba ikram. And similarly, the same plague had killed thousands of kuffar and mushrikeen, non-believers. But then will we say that this plague was a punishment for all? No, it can never be a punishment for all. So how will we know the difference that whether a tragedy, a natural disaster, is in fact a blessing or a punishment? We have to examine our own selves. That is this calamity, this misfortune, this tragedy which has afflicted me, is it bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it makes you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it makes us repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah, in dua, and we do not complain. One is to inform if a person is sick, and then a person asks you, how are you feeling? And you say, I'm not feeling well, make dua. Then this is merely informing. But to complain, that I don't know why this is happening to me, I can't take it anymore, then this is complaining. So if a person does not complain, in spite of the pain, he does not complain, then we will say that this misfortune or calamity is in fact a rahmat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing him closer to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting him an opportunity of earning great thawab and great rewards. But on the other hand, if that disaster, that calamity, that misfortune, loss of wealth, loss of property, loss of life, is causing him to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of focusing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then focuses on the natural causes and the remedies to those causes, then in fact we would say that this is an adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we should not jump to conclusions if any person is afflicted with any misfortune. It is not for us to decide. It is for the person himself to decide whether this in fact is a calamity, is an adab rather, or it is a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it allows him to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, if it brings him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, further away from the ulama-i-kiram, further away from the masajid, then in fact that is an adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is a wake-up call, it is never ever too late. It is for us to turn and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The doors of repentance will remain open. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out every day, that is there anyone, any of my servant who have sinned? I am ready to accept his tawbah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the other people of the other faiths, they have to go before their pastors and their priests to seek repentance. But for a mu'min, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any time of day, any time of night, the doors of tawbah are open. All he has to do is turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether he's on his bed, whether he's walking, whether he's standing, all he has to do is talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Regret and remorse in the heart. A firm resolution not to return to those sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Obviously, if he is owing anybody, or any rights have to be fulfilled, then those rights must also be fulfilled together with that repentance. That is part and parcel of repentance. Therefore, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us the ability to always turn towards him whenever any trial and tribulation afflicts us. But we must always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat, safety from all calamities, because we are extremely weak. We should not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test us. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety from all calamities. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us the ability that if a calamity afflicts us, then we should always turn towards him, become closer to him, and it should be an opportunity for us to earn great reward. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he assists the Muslims throughout the world, especially now in Jakarta and wherever the Muslims are suffering, and mankind at large. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should assist them, and we should make dua in whatever way we can, assist them monetarily or through our duas. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.